Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Tai.
Yeah, these are the time where you get playoff scenarios now for the Packers. And if they win and this team ties and that team loses and then goes to McDonald's for dinner, The Packers will be in the playoffs.
Sometimes it gets really complicated. Times it's like, they're going to be in.
Usually the thing that makes you laugh is if this teams A and B tie, then this, then that, and so on. You kind of laugh that off, but then you look at the Packers' record and you remember that they do have a tie on their ledger. So a simple thing is this. You win on Saturday over the Bears, and the Packers are favored for that game, by the way, and the Lions lose, and Green Bay is in the playoffs. They've locked down a playoff berth of some sort, whether it's a division title or wild card. That remains to be seen, but handle your business at Soldier Field on Saturday and put yourself in a really good position.
Could that favorability change between now and the actual game on Saturday night?
It could. It was an interesting line to me, given the Packers' injuries that have cropped up and the fact that this game is on the road. I would not have been surprised to see the Bears favored by one.
Same.
But 1.5 indicates that this line could move a little bit. It's up to the bettors, really, to move the line. We'll see where the money goes, and then sometimes Vegas makes that adjustment. So you don't often see a full 1.5 swing on a line unless there's a catastrophic or a major injury that would happen between now and kickoff, which you certainly hope doesn't happen. But I was a little surprised to see the Packers favored. It's 2:10 here on WTMJ.
Here's your top 2 at 2 on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, today marks 1 year since a shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. A teacher and a student were killed that day. 42-year-old Aaron West and 14-year-old Ruby Vergara. 6 others were hurt. The shooting left the Madison community in shock and looking for answers. Today, 1 year later, the healing and recovery process continues. The man who was principal at the school at the time, Doug Butler, says the community is taking time today to reflect and remember the victims. He got emotional when describing the support the school received in the aftermath of the shooting.
We also reflect on the tremendous outpouring of support that we received, not just from our church community, but from Madison and Dane County, around the state, and even across the nation and the world.
After opening fire at the school, the shooter, 15-year-old Natalie Rupnow, shot and killed herself. And we want to remind you, Wisconsin has a statewide tip line. It's for K-12 schools. And basically, this tip line, it provides staff, students, and community members with a safe and confidential way to report concerns. So if you're a parent and your kid comes home and says, "Mom, I heard this kid at school talking about this, and it made me concerned," you can go ahead and you can call this tip line. You can also go online and you can send in a message. You can text as well. But it is safe and it is confidential. It's called Speak Up, Speak Out. That number is 1-800-697-8761. 1-800-697-8761.
Well, number two, a pretrial hearing for Luigi Mangione continues today. This started a week ago. Mangione is accused of shooting and killing UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson on the streets of New York City last year. More from ABC's Aaron Katursky.
For the defense, they're trying to challenge all of this as irregular. They're saying that there was no authority to search Mangione, either his person or his backpack, and that's where so much of the substantial evidence against him came from, the alleged murder weapon, the writings, the notes, all of this. And so they're still trying to convince the judge that none of this evidence should be allowed when Mangione eventually goes on trial for murdering Brian Thompson.
So we knew this could continue for quite some time because the defense had an initial list of like 24 witnesses that were going to potentially be brought in, and they were kind of slow moving on this last week. They also had a day off. Mangione was sick, and they got him back into the court toward the back end of last week. Admittedly, I kind of forgot about it. Right, and you're like, oh yeah, he's back in court. Here we go. But they're still trying to figure out if the contents of this backpack are permissible in court when trial begins. This remains the central issue and point of discussion. They are fighting over the evidence found in this backpack. The conversations that officers had with Mangione at that Altoona McDonald's prior to having his Miranda rights read. All that right now is up for discussion in this pretrial hearing. So, I mean, that is it. Once they figure out where this goes and what's permissible in court and not, it's going to lead to a very interesting trial. But that's the center of this pretrial investigation and discussion.
I don't know why I just thought of this, and it's kind of a bizarre thought, but thinking about that McDonald's and that corner booth where he was, that area where the arrest was, there are so many, I don't want to call them all wacky, but in a way it is wacky, just the obsession over this man. The Mangione fans, it makes me feel like there are probably some people going to that McDonald's and taking pictures in that area, right? It's just so strange. It's taking such a weird turn and twist.
Well, that continues today and likely to continue throughout the week here in New York City. It's 2:14 on WTMJ. Hey, winter break is coming up. We know the kids have some days off, and you as parents might feel the need to take some days off as well. Well, how do you keep them going stir crazy with the house full during the winter months? Got some ideas and thoughts for you. Quick little getaways here in the state of Wisconsin. We'll explore after this. So there's like 900,000 school-age kids in the state of Wisconsin. Did you know that?
Lots of kids. And here in Milwaukee County, Milwaukee Public Schools, the largest school district in the state, we've got a lot of kids here.
Well, I can tell you this much. On day 8 of winter break, it feels like all 900,000 are at my house, right? You get all the neighborhood kids running around, and so they're in and out. You don't even know who's in your house. And I get it, right? As parents, sometimes we're kind of working from home, and you're trying to keep the kids busy, and they feel kind of locked in. It's maybe not great weather to get outside and play, so maybe you just want a little getaway. And there's so many great ways to do that here in the state of Wisconsin. And to help us explore some options for you, we welcome in the Travel Secretary. Always great to check in with Ann Sayers. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Do you know what I'm getting at here, where it feels like every kid in the neighborhood is at your house, or maybe the kids you have feel like 900,000?
Yeah, it's that time of year, and they can get a little cooped up. So it's a good idea to have a getaway in your back pocket.
So I think let's make a plan for a lot of people. What makes Wisconsin a standout winter break destination for families compared to, say, traveling out of state?
Well, we just have so many things to see and do. So no matter the age or the interests of your kids or the other members of the travel party, we're going to have something that's going to appeal to everybody. Plus, we're an extremely affordable vacation destination. And we have so much variety as you look at all the corners of the state, whether you're thinking about maybe something like children's museums or, of course, any kind of fun out in the snow. We're fully prepared for that right now. Water parks, we have them everywhere. So much to think about here.
I was just in the Dells last weekend for a tournament that my daughters were playing in. And it seems like that the water park destination, we know this about the Dells, water park capital of the world, it seems to be continuing to grow here as well. I was amazed at the amount of construction, add-ons, expansions, and new facilities in that area.
You're so right. We have some of our old favorites. We have the Kalahari, the Wilderness Resort, Mount Olympus. Great place to make some family memories for water parks in the Dells. But, you know, there's another attraction, too, right now. It's called Aqua Via Lumina right there in the Dells. It's an outdoor attraction. It's at the Wilderness, and it's an illuminated multimedia walk through the woods. It is so enchanting, so magical, something to look at. But if you're in other parts of the state, we have water parks there too. Blue Harbor Resort in Sheboygan, they even have a surf simulator that kids of all ages are going to love. There's the Chaos Indoor Water Park, that's in Eau Claire, and that has a water slide, lazy river, activity pool, hot tub, and an aquatic playground. And then elsewhere in the resort, they have the arcade and a trampoline park.
Well, all of that sounds like a blast. And then you have some families who are like, we love Wisconsin, we love winter, and we want to be outside. So for those families, if they're thinking about doing some tubing or maybe skiing, especially skiing, are there certain areas around the state that have hills that are very family friendly for maybe beginners and the kids to start learning?
Yes. You know, people are always surprised to learn. Wisconsin has the third most downhill ski areas in the country, and many of these ski hills offer kid-friendly lessons from trained instructors. And so you can sort through what we have as the Wisconsin Snow Report, and that's going to help you find which ski hills are actually offering lessons. The report's also going to tell you the condition of the snow, what hills are open, everything you need to plan a family vacation oriented around snow. So whether that's downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, or snowmobiling, or snow tubing, we have everything you need right there. You can find it at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You know, and there's some of these places, Ann, that put it all together, right? It's not just one place for skiing, one place for snowboarding. You might be able to do everything, including snow tubing, all on site at the same place.
That's a great point. So one to check out is Sunburst. It's a great destination for families. It's a ski resort near Kewaskum. It claims the title of the world's largest tubing hill. That ought to be very appealing to the kiddos. You're going to cruise over a quarter of a mile. You're going to hit speeds up to 30 miles per hour on that hill. And then near Dane County, we have Tyrol Basin. A ticket there gets you 4 hours of fun. That's on the tubing hill. You can head into the on-site restaurant afterward for food that'll help recharge you after a fun day out on the hill.
Well, this is ironic because I was just about to ask you if you have a fun memory from being a kid in the winter. And then all of a sudden you said Sunburst and it reminded me of one of my definitely not favorite moments. But I'm just going to say this because all of a sudden I'm like, well, that's ironic. So I think it was eighth grade. We were taking a field trip. I think it was part of the DARE group. And or no, maybe it was SAD, like Students Against Drunk Driving. And so we went up there and I had not skied before. And I skied for the first time and I fell. It was not a bad fall. No big deal. But my ski didn't pop off and my knee got all twisted.
Oh,
and
no.
I had to have the emergency crews take me down the hill from Sunburst. I had to go to the hospital. So definitely not one of my favorite moments. But let me tell you what, everybody else had a blast. And it was just a very, very freak fall.
Yeah, so, it's making memories.
Right? It's making memories. And that's what this is all about. Do you have a good memory to share with us, Ann?
I was a snow tubing kind of girl. And so I would try tubing or sledding on anything, you know, just see anything like garbage pail lid or cafeteria tray, always trying out how fast I could go on different
on a cafeteria tray? That's interesting. Unique.
Yeah, it didn't work that well.
Spray that thing full of Pam and just let it rip, right? There's a lot of opportunities here for outdoor fun. Absolutely. And, of course, you've got Wisconsin kid-friendly museums. And I was interested to find that Wisconsin actually is reported to have the highest children's museums per capita, which I think is interesting.
Isn't that cool? And it really is true. Any community you visit in Wisconsin, you're going to find a really fun children's museum. And I love that our state has made that such a priority. A couple ones to think about: Building for Kids Children's Museum in Appleton is a wonderland of exploration. You can climb through the cab of the locally manufactured Pierce fire truck is right there. You can get hands-on with some guided activities in the art studio. You can even learn about the Menominee tribe's language and culture through an interactive exhibit they have there.
And
then up in Waff. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Earlier, you were mentioning affordability. And I just wanted to ask you before we go here, are there any deals or any packages that families, I mean, we know a lot of families right now are having a tough time, but still want to get out there and just make those memories with the kids. Any deals right now?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that. Affordability is on everybody's mind, and certainly a vacation to Wisconsin is always going to be pretty affordable. But one way to look for deals happening right now is on travelwisconsin.com. If you search for deals, we'll have all the latest ways you can save a couple dollars on your next family getaway.
All right, Ann, have a lot of fun this holiday season. Always great to check in. Thanks for the tips and insight.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Yes. Same to you. Merry Christmas. Take care.
You bet. 224 on WTMJ. It happens every year, right? Yeah, the kids have off, and they never go back to school at the time you think they should go back to school. It's like, well, wait a minute. You have this day off, too? So it can be a scramble, and we've been there. Both my wife and I, we work, and sometimes my wife can work from home. I certainly cannot. Doesn't really work that way for the show. So you got to get creative sometimes, and they get stir crazy, and it's you got to find stuff to do. So if you can take a couple of days off and just get outside, do something. Maybe do for a little winter hike if the weather is kind of nice. But find something to do, and a lot of great options here in the state.
You think you're going to have the kids try the lunch tray sledding like Ann did?
We've had to make do with. We've had to try cardboard. We've done a variety of different things when you're just in that situation where it's like, I want to go sledding, and what happened to our sled? Where are they? They're packaged away somewhere. You can't find them. We've not done the garbage lid.
Did the cardboard work?
No, not well.
I was going to say.
Not well. Unpacked snow, it worked better than you think, but still not great.
Yeah.
But still not great.
Got to get a running start, I would think.
Yes. Yeah. And certainly with my weight, it didn't work well at all.
The testimony today isn't just about what happened. It's also about how it happened. Right now, jurors in the federal trial of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan are hearing from Milwaukee County Sheriff's Sergeant. Earlier today, they heard from numerous members of the arrest team. Remember, Dugan is accused of helping a man who was in the country illegally evade immigration agents at the Milwaukee County Courthouse in April. So that arrest team, it included FBI agents, ICE agents, and a supervisor with U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Something that came up numerous times today was that it was not routine for those agents to talk to the chief judge. Upon learning of the arrest plan, Judge Dugan told the agents they needed to go see the chief judge. One agent testified that led to confusion. Another noted that caused them to deviate from their plan. We talked with WISN-TV political director Matt Smith during the first hour of Wisconsin's Midday News. He is at the courthouse right now covering this trial. Here's his take on that.
So that's kind of one of the main points of contention that we're hearing in the back and forth today, because for the first time all morning on the stand, we've heard from these agents, the six agents who were actually on the sixth floor of the courtroom that day. And listen, there's some disagreement, right? This was one of the first arrests, first immigration arrests of the new Trump administration. So there was some confusion on all sides. The defense will say, listen, Judge Dugan didn't know what was going on, didn't know that these agents had a warrant, so she sent them to the chief judge's office, which is routine. The federal agents are saying, listen, we went through this process. We did our checks and balances to make sure we were going to be here. We were going to arrest him after the court hearing. And that's why we were all stationed at our positions in the hallway. So it's this back and forth about whose perspective, I guess, the jurors are going to believe at the end of the day.
So another observation that I had when walking through all of this morning and just taking a note as to who was testifying, more than one person on the arrest team testified today that Judge Dugan seemed upset when learning about the arrest plan. One FBI agent said Dugan seemed angry. The supervisor with Customs and Border Protection said she was, quote, visibly upset. The ICE agent said she seemed very stern and upset. Of course, it's all perspective. I was saying to Matt, I mean, you think about it. Somebody could say, well, she seemed angry. And that person could say, I wasn't angry. Maybe they were focused. So it's all about perspective and what the jury believes. Some of you today might be wondering about Judge Dugan right now during this trial. How has she responded to what she's hearing? And what does she seem like right now? We asked.
She's paying attention to the witnesses, listening intently, looking at the documents, sometimes putting on her glasses to look at the exhibits that are being presented. It's fascinating to watch not only Judge Dugan, but the jurors. Some jurors have been watching her, I've noticed, to see if they can garner, I guess, any reaction when agents say a certain something. The jury has been going back and forth between looking at the exhibits, listening to those who are on the stand. I mean, these are long days full of intricate details and testimony. So for your average Joe, who now is a juror in this high-profile case, it's a moment of needing to pay a lot of close attention to some of these intricate details.
So there's some very interesting audio that was used yesterday. It very much caught my attention, and prosecutors are working to use this audio to their advantage, and it's of Dugan using the phrase, take the heat, when it comes to her plans with Eduardo Flores Ruiz. So I wondered if there was any additional audio or video, for that matter, brought to the case here from the prosecution.
So today is all about the agents who are in the hallway so far. And we've seen all of that video, right, that's been released publicly. But there's no audio on that video. So all we have is the word of the agents, their interpretation, and then the cross-examination from the defense. So we heard agents today describe Judge Dugan as tense, even angry at times when they ordered, they said, them down to the chief judge's office. But we'll never hear those conversations because there isn't audio on those cameras in the public hallways. So it's all based on interpretation and what these agents recall those conversations being. And obviously, if Judge Dugan is called to the stand, she will be able to give her interpretation of those conversations as well. We just don't know if that will happen yet.
Speaking of conversations, we also learned today that the members of this arrest team were having a conversation on Signal, which is a messaging app. And some of you might say, okay, well, Signal, that sounds familiar. I personally hadn't heard about Signal until this year. Many of you are in the same boat because Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth used and was using the Signal messaging app to discuss a military strike in Yemen earlier this year. So that's kind of when a lot of people started to realize what Signal is. Well, it turns out this arrest team was also using Signal.
So the defense has brought this up for the most part. The agents who were there that day were part of a group chat on Signal. And the defense team was the one to point out that the Pentagon had some issues. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had some issues with Signal chats. And I think that was the purpose, to kind of potentially poke holes in whether it be the credibility of the agents or the credibility of the FBI or the agencies that were involved. But they were chatting back and forth just about the arrest. And a majority of it was leading up to when Eduardo Flores Ruiz arrived. And I think we're going to hear more of that potentially this afternoon when more agents get on the stand, just in terms of what was in those chats. They showed a few of them, and the agents appeared to be joking back and forth a little bit. So we'll see what impact, if any, that has. Notable, though, the connection that the defense team is attempting to make to Signal and the Pentagon and the FBI and the overall Trump administration.
Okay, so today we've had members of the arrest team. We also had a judge who took the stand to testify. We now have the Milwaukee County Sheriff Sergeant who is testifying. There are still many people to testify yet, including some notable people. Matt Smith again.
Eduardo Flores Ruiz's attorney, the Chief Judge Carl Ashley, is expected to testify along with numerous other people who are in the courthouse, in the courtroom that day, some of the judge's staff. Whether that is this afternoon or tomorrow, we'll just have to wait and see how fast they move along in the afternoon session here.
And that's the thing. Keep in mind, the judge anticipated that this trial would take 3 to 4 days. At this point, it seems like it could go longer than that. I mean, just yesterday, I was thinking with the pace of it, especially in the morning up until midday, I thought, well, this is going pretty slow. I mean, they were on that one witness for so long. It seems like it's going to go longer than anticipated.
Yeah, you never know until it actually starts, right? You've got a long list of people to be brought in, and then you start to inch your way forward instead of race your way forward. And what is the rush, for that matter? If you got that long list, and make sure you get out of those people what you need, really, from both sides, prosecution and defense. So it does appear as if you're right here, Jessica. We asked Matt about that. We're looking at a Thursday wrap-up, or maybe even into next week.
Yeah, here's what he said.
I think Thursday is wishful thinking at this point, but you never know. I believe there are about 6 witnesses in. Prosecutors had indicated at one point they were going to call as many as 28. On jury selection day, they thought they could be done by Wednesday afternoon. So I think we are looking at Thursday, Friday. And then depending on how long the jury would need to deliberate or jury instructions, how long closings go, it could seep it into next week. The judge has really worked, though, to try to make that not happen.
Yeah, they don't want that to happen because, number one, you've got just illness out in the world right now. You've got the one juror who had to call in sick yesterday, so they lost an alternate. You also have the holidays, so they don't want this to drag on. But we'll see how quickly they get through those witnesses this afternoon.
Yeah, 2:48 here on WTMJ. More throughout the week, of course, and more coming up later today in Wisconsin's Afternoon News. John and Julia all over the story as well. And they'll have the latest on the Hannah Dugan trial coming up beginning at 3 o'clock. It's 2:48. So a couple of major events here on the schedule for 2026. Number one, the Olympics. I love the Winter Olympics. You're cooped up. It's February. What else are you going to do in Wisconsin? Great family stuff. My daughters absolutely dive into the Olympics, summer or winter. I just think there's a tendency maybe to have the Winter Olympics on a little bit more because
you're inside.
Just the nature
it's
of the year,
cold
right?
Outside, yeah.
Well, the other big event here, World Cup. Some soccer fans will be able to go. Some will certainly not because, well, the prices.
FIFA was charging over $4,000 for some tickets, but after global backlash, it's decided to offer a certain number of $60 seats to every game in the tournament. The national federations of each team will get to decide how to distribute them to their most loyal fans who have attended previous games at home and on the road. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
Sounds like there's some sort of a loyalty program there, right? Not unlike your favorite musical artist. You become part of their club and you get early access and maybe even discounted tickets. But this became a story a couple of days ago, just looking at prices, $4,000 for some tickets. You want to bring a couple of folks out or maybe your family of four. It's, in many respects, cost prohibitive. So at the secondary market, it's going to be very interesting for a massive event in North America.
That is awesome. They're calling those $60 tickets the supporter entry tier. So that's great. This kind of reminded me at first of it was Ticketmaster over the summer. They've done it a couple summers, actually, where they release, it's not a ton, but a handful of tickets at a lower price for certain concerts. And I think that's great. I mean, I remember checking to see, and in fact, I think we took advantage of one of those this past year. It's just, it's great because those prices do add up.
You're a ticket hunter. You just experienced this over the weekend. We live in a world of on-demand pricing. Like, tickets are cheap right now. If you want to go watch Marquette play basketball tomorrow against Georgetown, it's winter break, the holidays are here, Marquette's not off to a good start, there's tickets for like $9.
Oh, wow.
Right? I mean, you go out to Denver, Denver's a first-place team, the Packers are a first-place team, not likely to be a cheap ticket, right? But we live in that world where you don't have to have the physical ticket in your hand, you're searching online for the best deals, but the more interest, the higher the cost. It is a supply and demand world.
And if you are looking online like that, just make sure you click the box where it says fees included.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
If you don't do that and then all of a sudden you see the ticket price at the end, woo! Yeah, I love that they have that feature now, so I always have it clicked.
That is
a
rude awakening. I want
to see the final price that I need to pay.
Exactly. 2:55 on WTMJ. Hey, John and Julia all over the Hannah Dugan trial. They'll have the latest on this coming up with Wisconsin's Afternoon News, which begins in just a few minutes.